hard to keep up with.
Oh, that was actually quite good.
That one was better.
Look at you.
I have mad respect for people who do professional beatboxing.
Yeah.
And sound effects with their mouth. It must be tiring as hell.
Very strong tongues.
I saw In Transit, which is that Broadway show right now.
Oh, that's saw that too. It's good, right?
And that one guy who's doing the beatboxing, I'm watching him. I'm like, you are not real.
It's incredible.
You are not real. Yeah,
I know. And the dude from Pentatonix who beatboxes while he sings. Is it Kevin?
Is that Kevin? Or is he the bass?
No, Avi is the bass.
No, Kevin does a lot of the beatboxing.
Yeah, I think it's Kevin. And he can sing and beatbox at the same time.
Amazing. One time Pentatonix came up here for an interview on The Big Show, and Kevin, who is so good looking, drop dead gorgeous. I look at him and I'm like, oh my God. He asked to borrow my ID, and then I never got my ID back. So I like to think that he keeps it in his pocket for good luck.
Or like whenever he wants to see a pretty girl.
Yeah, he sleeps with it under his pillow.
Hold on, keep this afloat. I gotta go tell Nate something.
I'll
be right back.
Okay.
It wasn't a flattering photo of me, unfortunately. So I took a new ID photo after then, just in case Kevin comes back.
That's good.
And ever wants to borrow my ID again.
I did not know you were a Kevin girl.
Oh, yeah.
I'm an Avi girl.
Really?
Yeah, but I like the long hair. And I think that if he ever cut his hair, it might be over between us. Not that it is between us, but I like the long hair.
Kevin walked in, and I guess if you're a certain ethnicity, you can instantly spot other people from that country.
Okay.
Based on, the way they look or the way they dress or maybe their name.
Okay.
Like, I know Portuguese people can do this a lot based on last names and
the
way people look. Like,
sure.
I wouldn't be able to pick out from a lineup who's Portuguese.
Right.
But if you are Portuguese, chances are you'll be able to do that. Kevin from Pentatonix walks in, looks at our intern and goes, "You're Nigerian." And they had this whole Nigerian bro hug.
Is he Nigerian?
Yeah,
Kevin
of course.
Is? I didn't know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Kevin's Nigerian. And they had this whole sort of girl crush freak out of each other because they're both Nigerian and they hugged each other like they knew each other for years.
Well, it's similar to, we were at this event last night for VH1 Save the Music and a woman came up who was from Wisconsin.
Oh my God.
And it was like squeal, squeal, girl hug. We'd never met each other, but she was from not Oconomowoc. But on Alaska.
It was so, you were kind of tired by that point in the night. You were saying your goodbyes when they arrived. And then I think she picked it up first or her boyfriend or something.
Yeah.
And you just saw this caffeine burst pump through both of your veins.
Yeah.
You were both so excited to someone's from my hometown
That's
and is
so
here.
That's so funny.
That was adorable to watch.
Yay. Well, we love Pentatonix.
Yeah.
Shout out.
Mm-hmm.
Kathleen, did you have someone you wanted to drop a line to via this podcast?
I do. I can't wait. Hold on.
I can't find the message.
Kathleen's password for her phone out loud as I watch her type it.
Speaking of, you're listening to an Acquired Taste podcast.
Oh my God, we didn't intro. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. I'm Bethany. Hi, Kathleen.
Hi.
Hi, Sam.
Hey.
There you go.
So I have the message, and this is from our listener, Nicole Marie. Now, last episode, we talked about carrier pigeons.
Yeah, as you do on your podcast.
Uh-huh. And so Nicole took the time to write us this very sweet note. Hi, ladies. In response to your latest podcast, my grandfather had carrier pigeons and he used to race them. They would wear little metal bracelets around their ankles with a number on them so they could be tracked. And I'm not sure if he sent any messages with them, but they always came home and it was pretty cool to watch.
Then they're just racing pigeons,
though. He raced them, not he raised them.
Raced them,
he
yes.
Raced them.
Yeah, raced them.
He raised them,
them
and
so
then
cool.
raced them.
Should I read that again?
No, that's fine.
Okay.
It's perfect. You're fine.
So thanks, Nicole Marie, for reaching out. That was very interesting.
I didn't know that was still a thing. Well, I mean, it's her grandfather, so it's a couple generations back. But still, that's crazy.
I want someone to get a carrier pigeon with me. I feel like they need to be bought in pairs because then I can trade the pigeon because, as we learned, they only learn how to come home.
Yeah.
So I want to give someone my pigeon, and I would love to receive their pigeon.
Yeah.
And then when I need to say something, I will just put it in said pigeon.
I think that's so fascinating. I wonder what their radius is.
Do you guys watch the show Younger with Sutton Foster and Hilary
no,
Duff?
No.
Guys, I know it's on TV Land, which can be sort of a lame TV Network.
Oh my gosh, Kathleen.
But younger, it's from Darren Star. He's the creator of Sex and the City. So the show is pretty racy and very interesting.
I've heard good things about
it. That's what I say about Sutton Foster.
It's a really good show. So it's about working in publishing. And there was an author who wrote this really excellent book. A fictional book. It was part of the storyline of the show. And it was about the last carrier pigeon in the world.
No!
On the show, they were strategizing how to get millennials interested in carrier pigeons.
Carrier pigeons are so hipster. I feel like you just need to remind them that they exist. Yeah. And it'll catch on to millennials.
They really will, because it's old-timey.
Yes, I want a carrier pigeon. Yeah. Whatever.
I'm into it.
So, you know how usually we talk about something silly and lots of giggling and whatever back and forth in the podcast and yada, yada, yada?
Yeah.
This is not going to be one of those episodes.
That's okay.
So I need advice / help from the two of you.
Should we dim the lights?
That would be lovely.
Thanks, Sam.
Thanks for dimming the lights.
We all just look more attractive in darker light. Anyway, that's really like dark.
It's now dark in here.
My dimmer's broken, so it's just off.
We're being lit only by the board lights and the computer screens.
Which is kind of romantic.
No, I like it.
Yeah, I'm down on this.
It's a little bit Teen Witch.
Right?
It's hot.
Mm-hmm. Where I would get out the Ouija board.
I'm going to be Neve Campbell.
So I have a little bit of a pickle. I've definitely spoken to you guys on this podcast about my ex-boyfriend before.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Probably several, but the last person that I was in love with.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay? So this was about 4.5 years ago now. And we broke up for a reason. We had to break up. We didn't really want to break up, but he was going through some stuff personally where having a girlfriend was not... He was going to be a bad boyfriend and miserable about it, and he had enough to worry about.
Okay.
So we broke up. And now he's still dealing with some of those personal things. And I know because, you know, you reach out for the big holidays, like, you know, no one was bitter at each other. So it's like, hey, happy birthday, happy Easter, whatever, hope you're well kind of stuff. I still talk to him a couple times a year. And I am wondering, I fear that it is going to maybe cause an issue with William, my boyfriend, right now. When I mention it to him, he says no. It's not that I think he's lying. I'm just not sure if I know he doesn't love it, but he says he gets it.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe him when he says he gets it and he's not upset that I do, but that doesn't mean it's not a problem for him. And I'm not sure if it's because maybe he doesn't fully process it yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm afraid of possibilities. I don't want to just completely drop my ex from my life because he's going through things again, and he's not a very open person, so he doesn't have, like, he could talk to me, and he doesn't have too many other people he speaks to about this stuff. But I'm not willing to risk my relationship with William.
Yeah.
So I don't know what if this turns into a problem in a year from now? Like, what if I don't know what to do?
So I think that this is a turning point for you and William, because this is a test of trust.
I don't think it is. I don't think it has anything to do with trust, because he's not worried and I don't think he is going to be worried. But that doesn't mean it won't be uncomfortable for him. You know what I mean? Like, I know he's not worried about anything like that.
Uncomfortability. Is that a word?
Discomfortment.
Discomfort. has to do with, it's a trust issue.
Define what you feel like, break down trust issue.
Because 100% understanding and trust, and sure, go ahead, hang out, I'm cool with it, wouldn't garner any discomfort.
Well, we don't hang out, and I don't plan to. It's simply the
text message
he needs every text once
messages?
In a while. Yeah.
Emails.
Yeah. Text messages. We haven't met up since before I've been dating William, and we haven't even tried.
I have follow-up questions.
Yes.
Do you still have feelings for this ex?
I love him, and I have told him that since I've been with William, but it's love that's shifted.
Okay, so there's not a...
It's not romantic. It's like an I would love to like rock him back and forth and coddle him kind of love.
So it's not like a physical attraction?
No.
Like, okay. What was my other follow-up question?
Well, it's also a respect for the past, too, that type of love.
Yeah, like the breakup was never... must-happen breakup. It was hard to get over, and there was no resentment. Neither of us had done anything wrong, so we don't dislike the other person for any reason.
Do you think he still has feelings or attraction to you or for you?
I don't think that he does, but I do know he's such a closed book that I was probably the last person he has been open to about that stuff. So I feel like it's possible he's got that comfort of being attracted to me. So not that he still is, and he hasn't said anything, but it's possible he's comfortable with the thought of it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So, okay. So this is what I think.
Okay. Sock it to me.
Yeah. I think that just because he has a hard time opening up to a lot of people.
Yeah.
Doesn't beholden you to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not your duty to make sure that he has someone to open up to. That's his road he has to figure out.
Mm-hmm.
And I also know that you have a really unique relationship with your friends, especially your guy friends. Like you cuddle with your guy friends,
yeah,
and like have sleepovers with your guy friends, which is totally fine, but is, I think, pretty unique to you. I've never met anyone else who does that.
Yeah.
And that you would need to make sure that you know where that line is.
Right.
Because I would hate for you to like have this ex like come over or whatever, and he is used to Sam who wants to cuddle.
Oh my goodness.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And have William be like, what the f-?
Yeah, no. I don't, I have no plans in meeting with him. But for the record, like the friends I cut, they're people I've known like my whole life.
Okay.
I don't make and cuddle new friends.
Okay.
For the most part.
Okay.
For the most part. But yeah, no, that would be beyond unacceptable.
Yeah.
And if he ever gave me a reason to stop talking to him, no questions asked, plug pulled immediately.
Yeah.
But that hasn't happened. My biggest fear is he believes that he's okay, but something is not sitting right and he doesn't know what it is. And eventually, because this is how all relationships work, Kathleen, I'm sure you can attest to this in some form. Things that weren't a problem in the beginning later on become problems.
Yeah, like dirty socks.
Mm-hmm. That's not cool with me now. God bless you.
Who's going to wash the dishes?
Like, that's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid this is a little baby nothing, and in a couple years, something else would happen or whatever. It would manifest into something that would be irrevocable.
If I were you.
Yes. Please.
I would. It's your responsibility to live your best life and to think about your future and to nourish and grow relationships that you are in now that will sustain and flourish in the future for the long run. I would cut your ex-boyfriend off cold turkey, and this is why.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you were to get drinks with him to hash something out, that if he needed help with a very specific problem that was going on in his life,
yeah,
getting drinks or going to brunch, hashing it out, talking for a few hours, it would be better for me, for my significant other, to do that with somebody than to be in a constant emotional crutch via text message.
Ooh, boy. Emotional crutch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with that. I think that, this person, because you've talked to me before about this person.
Mm-hmm.
And this person is very fraught for you, and there's a lot of emotions going on, and there's a lot of history there. And I know there's a lot of love, but I think there's also a lot of just turmoil. And I worry that it's not that you can't be trusted, and it's certainly not that you can't be trusted. You absolutely can. I just think that if William is like, he's fine, but he's not great about it.
I think, yeah.
You know?
It's hard to juice it. Exactly.
Yeah. But also, keep in mind, you're not signing a document stating that this is the way it will be forever. I think part of it is keeping a massive line of communication open with William so that the second he's like, you know what, I'm not cool, you know it. And then you can make that decision. Because you don't have to speak for the way it's going to be 5 years from now.
Yeah, that's true. I do like that. I would bring that up to him again. I feel badly every time. Like, it's happened maybe we've had 4 conversations since William and I have been dating in like 8 months.
Yeah.
And every time I feel badly bringing it up, but I also want to not bring it up.
Yeah.
Because I'd probably want the same courtesy.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I just...
I think email.
God, yeah.
would be the only okay form of digital communication.
Okay, less formal.
There's something about text messaging where you're always available mm-hmm. and you're always checking your text messages. Like, you don't always check your emails. And emails, there's a little bit more digital distance and coldness with an email.
Okay.
I agree.
If you will.
Yeah, it's like a more formal.
It's a little bit more formal.
Barrier.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would keep that barrier there.
Okay. I like that.
I understand not wanting to cut off your past.
I mean, if anyone's wondering, and Kathleen and Bethany know this, so it's probably, I don't know how it's reading to people who have no idea listening. There's for a very long time been a very important and upsetting pending loss of family. Mm-hmm. So I'm dreading that day, and that's why we keep in touch.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's why, you know, every once in a while I have nightmares. I've had nightmares about it. Like, I'll have reoccurring nightmares every year or so. I'll have one.
You've spoken about him on the podcast before.
Yes.
And he's the friend who one day disappeared, cut off his whole family.
No. That one was never a romantic friend. That was just my best friend decided to leave. Who's engaged now? Yay!
I won't be invited to the wedding.
I absolutely agree with Kathleen. It's super hard. And I think that anybody, you know, if you're listening and you're in a relatively new relationship, you're working on all of these different rules and what, you know, the pitfalls, and one of those is the exes. I briefly dated a guy who was really good friends with every ex he had.
Every
single one. It always ended, like, he made it a point to stay very friendly with them. And I think part of it is he was higher profile, and so he needed to make sure that, like, there was never a PR situation.
Fair.
But I think also it was really important to him to just have, to know that everything was okay.
But they were, like, regularly connected?
I mean, they weren't necessarily always talking, but they were always in a good place. And so there would be texting going on, or there would be, you know, whatever, and or tweeting going on. And so that always made me a little bit uncomfortable, knowing that this is a communication that's probably always going to happen. And I think that's a big sticking point for any new relationship, is figuring out, where does the ex fit in?
Yeah.
Especially if you're on good terms with them, because that means that they still exist in your life.
Yeah. I didn't know how to put this into better words. So the way I put it to him once, and we weren't even talking about this exact issue at the time, we were talking about something else. I feel like my job as serious girlfriend is to protect his heart. That is my first job. So whether, you know, when you apologize for something that upsets them and they're like, well, it's not your fault, or you didn't do anything wrong. I'm not apologizing for the action. I'm apologizing because I've hurt your heart, even in a way where I wasn't doing anything wrong, kind of thing.
That drives me
crazy. That's what I feel like this is.
Yeah, it drives me crazy when someone is like, I'm this sad, and you're like, I'm sorry, and they're like, it's not your fault. That drives me crazy, by the way. It's like, I'm sorry your house is burning. Well, you didn't light it on fire. I know I didn't. House is on fire, and
then you
and
hold
I'm sorry
the match. You're like, that's what you think.
Ha, 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 ha.
I'm sorry.
No, but I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. I think you have to be really careful. Be really careful.
I do. I need to talk to him about it again, and I'm sure he's probably sick of, like, hearing me bring it up, because no one would want to talk about this. But it's so important that mm-hmm. I'm not holding this match, waiting for someone, parentheses Bethany the arson, to light it.
Yeah.
That's my biggest fear with this.
God
forbid this turns into a big problem, and I'm in the stages where I could stop it.
Yeah, you need to, by the way, I'm turning the lights back on. I think I'm falling asleep.
You know, one of the best attributes of my relationship with my husband, and even before we were married, is that I always say to people who ask, you know, like, what's the secret? We've been together for almost 12 years now. Mm. We allow each other to grow. So there are male relationships that I have, friends, guy friends, that Neil doesn't have relationships with. And he gives me the freedom to go out and hang out with them for extended periods of time, full days at a time.
Yeah.
And he doesn't ask any questions. And he doesn't blink an eye.
Yeah.
Like, he just is like, yeah, that's cool. You go out and do your thing.
Yeah.
You see your friends.
I do love Neil.
So I think that a certain amount of growth and trust is essential for a relationship, but because you two were once in love with each other, it makes it more complicated.
And it's the stickies.
It's going back to what Kathleen, you were saying about trust. It's not always trust of your partner. It's trust of the other party too, because we know where you're coming from, but we don't know where the ex is coming
from.
That's
true.
I don't even know. Yeah. So that's the unknown. That's the X in the equation, and we don't quite know where he is mentally.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I got to figure out a way to delicately touch on this with him, which I'm sure he understands.
I'm sure a lot of people can relate.
I hope so.
Totally.
I mean, especially once you get into your late 20s and mid 30s, you're essentially always going to date somebody who has an ex.
Mm-hmm. Right? Probably.
And if you're not, they have no experience, and you probably don't want to necessarily...
It comes with its own problems.
Yeah, it comes with its own problems.
I don't have any exes that I'm still friends with.
You burned every bridge.
And I don't have and I don't have a lot of exes. I have a handful, and one that I did love.
That goth, because I love the stories about him.
I've only ever loved two people, and we're not unfriendly.
Okay, you're cordial.
But there's no talking relationship. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's something to be. It's like if I ever date again, like the person will. Don't laugh. It's true.
Sorry.
The person will have to deal with my best friend who I used to date, mm-hmm. and now we're best friends.
Yep.
And like he's the platonic love of my life. So, you know, someone will have to deal with that, but knowing fully well that that's not a danger. But they there's going to be some trust. They'll have to trust that.
Oh my gosh, it's so difficult.
I think you should coin that phrase, the platonic love of your life.
Yeah, I love that.
It's amazing.
Oh, that's me and pizza.
Not the pepperoni kind.
Not the pepperoni side.
What's the brand of pizza, frozen pizza, that when you bake it, the pepperonis like curl up and form tiny little bowls of grease?
DiGiorno.
It's not DiGiorno because that's too high quality.
It's also like, not delivery.
Elio's?
I think it's like Red Baron. Or
Tombstone?
Tombstone, something like that, where it's like the tiny little party pepperonis. They're about the size of a quarter.
Yeah.
And they
shrink
up.
They're like shrinky dinks in the oven.
Yeah.
You watch them shrink and curl.
I love frozen pizza.
Yes.
So good.
California Kitchen makes a hella good line of frozen pizza.
And if you're having me over for frozen pizza and there's just the two of us, you better have two because I'm eating one myself.
Hell yeah.
You always have it.
It's never enough. One is never going to feed two people.
And even sometimes I get the Elio's because you have to do a throwback to elementary school.
I don't even know what Elio's is.
What? It's like, it's literally elementary school pizza where it's a rectangle. And they,
I love that. It's shaped to fit in the trays.
I love that.
Oh my God, you guys, those days.
I know the brand.
You know when you're so desperate and you're starving and you don't have time for the oven to heat up and you just put the frozen pizza in the microwave?
Yep.
And you're there, like, I hate eating it. You're like, this is not good. Like, nope. Why didn't I put it in the oven?
It's soggy, but you still eat it.
Oh, remember Celeste microwave pizzas?
No, what the hell?
Oh, those are a staple in college because they were very small, personalized for microwave size.
No, that's what I had. What were they called? Not Hot Pockets, but
Hot Pockets.
The pizza bagels. Oh, it's called pizza bagels.
Pizza in the morning.
There you go. You got it. What are those things called? The pizza bagels.
You know, what's that called? It's Raisin and Bran. Raisin Bran. Sorry.
Pizza at supper time.
When pizza's on a bagel, you can eat pizza anytime.
Sleepover staple.
Yep. That, and I used to have a friend where I had to, whenever we had a sleepover, I'd get the White Castle frozen burgers.
Oh my God.
And I would pull up a chair next to the microwave before they even got there because her routine was she'd get drunk and then would go to the microwave and pull up a chair, open up the one night castle burger at a time and just heat them up until the whole
hell yeah
thing is gone.
We used to have those in the freezer.
It's so much fun to watch.
I think I had a Hot Pocket for breakfast every day in high school.
Oh my God, that sounds so good. Can I really quickly divert this conversation quickly because I have to share a story?
Yes,
and
please.
I have to, you know.
Bring us back up from my miserably.
No, it wasn't miserable.
Real painful
outfit
talk.
Change.
Part of the reasons that we started this podcast is because we wanted to be able to talk more deeply about stuff that wasn't always necessarily happy, happy, happy.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of feelings.
So I'm an external processor, so I need to like share in order to process my feelings about things.
Yes.
I need to talk about what happened with Lance Bass last night.
Yay!
Miss Topanga there.
She was not.
Can I give the briefing how the gathering happened?
Yes.
Okay, so I went to Taiwan 2 summers ago with a group for some kind of PR something, and Joey Fatone of NSYNC was put in our group, and he was paid to, like, you know, film an adventure and why everyone wants to go to Taiwan, which was incredible. So we all hit it off really well, like 5 or 7 of us. And now whenever we're all in town at the same time, we actually do a pretty good job of meeting up a couple times a year. So last night it was the entire group, and I went after the event we went to last night, Save the Music. So I invited Bethany, and she came, and they liked her better than me, and I'm not bitter, but
no, they all love you so much.
Wait, was
so,
Joey Fatone there too?
Yeah.
Yes. So we're at the Highline Ballroom,
yeah,
and they were at the Tippler, which is down the street in Chelsea. So, mm-hmm. so we go over to the Tippler,
yes,
which has a photo booth, so I'm there.
Yes.
NBD, go on, yeah, and hang out with NSYNC.
Right. So we go, and I meet everybody, and they're, you know...
Okay, who's everybody? Paint me the full picture.
So it was Joey Fatone, mm-hmm. And this amazing friend of you guys, her name is Izzy. She's awesome.
Yeah,
she was
love
my
her.
She's my favorite.
She's so cute.
And then your friend, Sean.
Yes.
Who is a handful.
Yes. Yes, he is.
But clearly loves you.
In a mean way.
In a mean way. And then your friend, Michael,
yes,
who goes by not Michael.
Roselli.
Right. And then you and then me, right? That was everybody.
Yeah, that was everyone who made it last night.
Right. So they were all lovely.
And Hot Carl.
And Hot Carl, Hot who is Carl. Like, if you watch Steven Universe, he's Steven Universe.
This sounds like a sitcom.
It was they pretty are. Great. So they're all great. They're all lovely. And then Joey is in town to shoot something with Lance. And so he's texting. He's like, Lance is in town. He's going to come over. And I'm being super cash because whatever. But Lance was always the one I was in love with.
Yeah, me too.
I had his marionette. Like,
yes!
Right? This was
no
Lance.
Strings attached.
I told Sam, like, how terrible would it be if you hugged someone and they could feel all of the impure thoughts you've ever had about them hug? Lance would have been knocked backwards with the amount of the impure thoughts I had about him because I didn't know he was gay. So Lance shows up.
I don't
up.
Think Lance knew that he was gay.
I don't know. So Lance shows up with his husband, who is lovely.
Both
and
of them are so damn dreamy.
A bunch of their friends. And I am playing it so cool that I'm on the other side of the room mm-hmm. from Lance.
Like, you did a pretty good job, minus this one thing that happened, okay. I think you should say.
So this is what happened. So finally, I have to go home because it's 11 and we wake up at 3. And I'm wearing this giant black faux fur jacket. Mm-hmm. It's actually made out of yarn, but it looks like a gorilla.
Yes. Okay.
So I'm wearing it, and I go to Joey. I said, hey, would you mind if I could get a picture with you and Lance? It would just make my life. And he was like, of course. He goes and gets Lance. Lance comes over. They're both lovely. And then Joey starts to pet one of my arms
oh
of my
God.
Coat. And then Lance starts to pet the other arm of my coat. And Lance goes, is this made from real Muppet? Hmm. And I said, no, it's Harambe.
Oh my God.
No!
And Lance looks at me and then doesn't say anything. And then kindly takes the picture and then sort of just melts away into the crowd.
Oh, come on,
because,
Lance.
No. And it's
too soon.
No.
Hashtag do
it's not too soon.
It's too soon. It's no fault of Lance's. He could not have been nicer. He could not have been more lovely. It's awkward duck Bethany who
duck.
Doesn't know what to say to her childhood crush and so makes a joke about a damn dead gorilla.
Did you check to see if he was on the National Conservation of Gorillas?
Probably.
The Society of Gorilla Protection.
Damn it. So
the Endowment I was, Gorilla
Foundation. Do you know
Foundation?
Those moments where you watch someone and you want to help, but there's nothing you can do? That was that moment for me last night.
It was in slow motion. Luckily, he smiled. Clearly,
oh, he looks so cute.
Clearly, Lance is a good actor because he looks really happy in this picture. Like, he is being lovely.
Those are some of the widest teeth in that photo between you and Joey Fatone and Lance.
Oh, my gosh.
So, to Lance Bass, yes. I am very sorry. I am VS that I made the Harambe joke. It is too soon.
Apologize to Harambe.
When Harambe died, I actually went into a bit of a depression. Like, mm-hmm. It hit me pretty hard. It was an inappropriate joke. I am very sorry I made it.
He's a
and
sweetie.
I am very sorry I made it. And
I truly feel your pain. I live half of my life with my foot in my mouth.
It's like...
It tastes really good at this point.
You try so hard to be cool all the time and like to play it cool and to act like you've been at this rodeo before. And then this happens all the time.
This sounds a lot like when I make up stories that I'm friends with celebrities. Like when Reese Witherspoon and I go to brunch and share a stuffed French toast.
I
giggle about Sailor Moon.
This is why I can never be friends with celebrities, because I act like a freaking loser. Because I bring up dead primates and endangered species when I'm trying to be cool, and it doesn't work out.
It's the most unrelatable thing ever.
No, but it totally is unrelatable. But have you ever, if you've ever like been somewhere and you see a celebrity walking down the street, it happens. Like if you go someplace, if you go to New York, or if they're filming a movie in your town, or if you see like your local news anchor and you see them, you're like, oh my God, I see you every night at 5 o'clock. And then you say something really stupid to them. This is the thing. This is it. It will never get better.
I love
There's
the
no hope for you. It will never get better.
Oh my God. I'm just so happy that that moment happened last night.
Arya.
I am.
Arya.
I'm so glad. I'm sorry.
The good news is that my theory on wearing things that are fuzzy does work as an icebreaker.
Yay!
You just have to be willing to volley the ice back.
You just need to practice your follow-up fuzz material on your friends before you leave the house.
Just never accuse it of being an endangered species.
Really, it does. I have a fur vest that I wear in the winter, and strangers will come up to me and talk to me about this fur vest.
It's a
good icebreaker.
And sequins.
I should go speed dating wearing fur.
You have a husband.
Head to toe.
Yeah, isn't that like a small oversight?
Theoretical. You too should go speed dating.
Only if it's faux. Faux speed dating.
Fur, yes.
Faux fur for faux speed dating.
Yeah. I love this.
Well, I apologize. I know that was the least I am... least
that's a really cute story.
What's the word I'm looking for?
I don't know. I can't
identifiable
help you.
With
relatable
thing ever, but it had to be said.
That's a better story than if you were like, yeah, I met Lance Bass and I was totally cool and I said all the right things and then we took this photo together.
No,
not as interesting as I insulted a dead gorilla, then he got awkward and he petted my jacket.
That saying all the right things has never happened in my entire life.
He's like, what's that like?
What's that?
Earlier today, you made fun of me for tripping, so she rammed her arm into a corner. Like, nothing about you.
Sam tripped and fell, and then as I was laughing at her, I ran into a light. So, it was instant karma.
I put that there.
Once when I was in college, as an icebreaker, we were standing in a circle. I don't know if I've told this story on this podcast before, but I apologize if I have.
I want to hear it.
We're standing in a circle as an icebreaker, and this kind of reminds me of you, Bethany. We had to pick a word that started with K.
Uh-oh.
And kiwi, kangaroo, all sorts of words. You get to me, and I go, quiche.
You panicked.
And
it's cute.
And it was dead silence. And somebody is like, that doesn't start with the letter K.
Like, I get it. I'm so funny. That was on purpose.
It was a joke.
You're
move on.
But it wasn't a joke. I think I really think quiche started with K.
Is that why you won't eat quiche to this day?
No, I love the quiche.
Trigger alert.
Post-traumatic quiche disorder.
Trigger warning.
Trigger quiche.
All right. Sam, do you feel better? Did we help at all or make it worse?
No, I think you guys helped a lot, which is really good. I like talking stuff out with you guys, and this is a safe place, judgment-free zone.
Yeah.
And I think it was very useful. I'll let you guys know when and if. I don't think I'm going to like offer this text message. I'm going to wait for the communication to be organic again and maybe bring it up then.
Yeah.
But this feels better. At the end of the day, it's not worth what I would want it to risk. What it's risking is not, I can't let that be a risk. So,
but that also says something pretty amazing about how you feel about William.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I'm crazy about him.
Yeah.
Love that guy.
Yeah,
I do.
So he's working out.
It is.
Go
figure.
Should we say what we learned this week?
Yeah. Who wants to go first?
I could go first, unless Kathleen.
I'll go first. Okay. I learned that literally every couple is the same, because on Sunday I got in the shower and then I said to my husband, "Oh shoot, honey, can you get me a towel?" Because I got in the shower with no towel.
You're cute.
Damn.
And I'm drying off, and through the floor upstairs, I can hear, "Hey, can you get me a towel?" So everybody in my building got into the shower without a towel, and every couple is exactly the same.
That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Mercury in retrograde.
Mm-hmm. It really is. It applies to everything, not just technology.
I love that.
I learned this week that if you want to be a better journaler, like you want to document your day, but if you get to the end of the day, you're like, I just don't have the time, I'm exhausted, whatever. Pull out your phone and pull out like your notepad in your phone and just talk it into a notepad as you're going home, as you're driving home or whatever. So you get it all down. And then at some point when you feel like you have more time, you can go back and transcribe it into a journal. But it keeps the thoughts fresh and it allows you to put it down there when it's in your brain. And then you can always go back and write it down versus being like, oh, I'll write it down eventually. And then you lose what it is.
Great tip.
Yeah. So I did that last night. And as I walked home from the tippler, I was like, oh, and then this thing happened into my phone and now I have it and I can transcribe it.
I'm going to put $1 million in your lap. You need to invent something for cars. A technology that's like an audio notepad for cars.
You would think that it already exists, doesn't it?
I don't think so.
I have no idea.
A lot of people do their best thinking when they're driving or walking.
This is true.
Can you invent a toilet version for me?
Yeah. Well, I think that's your phone.
My best thinking.
You talk into your... Can you imagine if you keep your journal in your toilet?
My toilet talk back.
Yeah.
A piece of software that you can install in a car. And
like you hit the dashboard and...
Yeah.
That'd be amazing.
Notes to self.
Notes to self. Call it a dashboard confessional.
Yes! Oh my God! Sam!
There's no way that's taken anywhere else.
Samantha!
Just use it.
That was perfect.
Yay!
Yeah.
I'm gonna. Joke.
That was it.
She got a joke!
Got one.
I got it.
I actually think it's a pretty decent name.
It's a really good name.
If you wrote to the band and asked permission.
I'm sure they're fine.
I love that. I learned a really easy way to test if you are allergic to makeup, which if I say this, a lot of you guys might be thinking, duh, Sam. Yeah, well, I didn't know it, okay? So... Stop. So when I was like, what am I allergic to? I went to the dermatologist and the test for each chemical, no insurance covers it because it's not like a necessary thing. It's not like a risk hazard to me. Mm-hmm. So it costs $150 and there's four different ones. I'm like, geez, I wish I knew which one I should buy, if any of them. He goes, take a Band-Aid. So as some of you may remember, the allergy was all around my eyes, so it's the most sensitive part of your body. Mm-hmm. Take a Band-Aid and put the makeup on the Band-Aid and apply twice, three times a day and put it behind your leg, like at the bottom part of your calf. And after 5 days is the maximum. If you don't develop an allergy after 5 days, you're not allergic. And I don't have a crazy one, but I have a raised irritation.
So you put
the
makeup the
mascara
underneath the sticky part of the Band-Aid or the pad part.
And it was annoying to keep there. I had three separate Band-Aids for three swatches and then I put taped over it. So two of them didn't have a reaction and one of them did, but I'm you know, now I can start from there and cross-reference and see which of the tests I should get.
So I bet that would really apply with anything apply to your skin that you're wondering if you may have a sensitivity to,
yeah.
Like a lotion or fragrance. A lot of people are allergic to fragrances and lotions and stuff.
Yeah, maybe just spritz it on a swab and tape it to you. And so he said leave it on for 3 days, but if you don't have a reaction after five, you're not going to get one on six, you know? So,
that's awesome.
That's very interesting.
That's very helpful.
Go homegrown scientists.
Yay!
By the way, we should update Sam. How did your baby foot thing go? I put baby foot on, and did you put baby foot on?
Yeah,
but you put a version on.
I know. I don't like mine. It was peeling for a couple days, my feet, and it's like now they're just exactly what they
really
were. I'm disappointed. I'm imagining yours is amazing.
Mine peeled not as amazingly cool as last time because I have fewer... Because it worked last time.
Yeah.
But I would take my socks off and it would just be poofs of skin would come off. Oh, it's so gross.
What imagery.
It's so gross, but like, it's really amazing. If you need to exfoliate your feet, they're not paying us. They should. But
yeah.
Like baby foot, it's like fruit acid basically that goes on your foot. And then after a week, your skin starts peeling off and it's amazing and gross.
Yay.
All right. I'm sorry you didn't like your results.
It's fine. I learned something.
All righty. Thank you for listening to us. We love to give advice. It's seldom good.
I think we should post our side-by-sides of our pictures from last night because also took a picture with Joey, but he's not very happy to see me at all.
Yeah, well, he's faking happiness in mine like a champ.
I don't think so.
All right. We will. We'll post his pictures. Twitter @AcquiredPodcast, Instagram @AcquiredTastePodcast. You can find us on Facebook and AcquiredTastePodcast.com, right?
Yep. Absolutely.
And then we're on iHeartRadio, of course. Woo, we're woo, also woo. On iTunes. Rate, review, subscribe. We would love it if you would do that. That
and
is amazing.
We read your comments.
We do, by the way.
Every single one.
Thank you so much for everybody who has left comments so far. You guys are champs and we love you.
Yeah.
And we will talk to you guys next week.